Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're concluding our series on growing through sufferings. I know sufferings aren't fun. It's not like we wake up in the morning and like, wow, I hope today I can suffer. I mean, if you're like that, you're kind of masochistic, and I don't think we're like it. But if we're honest, there are times in our lives where we suffer. And so the Apostle Peter gives us some interesting advice. Let's take a look here, 1 Peter, as we wrap up 1 Peter. We're going to go through chapter 4 and a little bit in chapter 5 here today. And would everybody join me as we read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If you put it up on the screen there. I got you doing, there you go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. The time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debaucheries and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way the people are, they might live in the spirit the way that God does. Okay, so there's something here that when we read this verse, we miss. And I've missed it a long, long, long time. And this week, spending some time, it jumped off the page. I was praying, Lord, how do I need to convey this to your people today? And I feel like the Holy Spirit really pressed into one particular word. And that's this. The Apostle Peter says, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves. Think about that. Arm yourselves. That's a pretty intense statement. And I'm going to be honest with you, as many times as I have read this verse, it was almost like, where did that come from? It's like it was lost. And the Holy Spirit quickened in my spirit. Think about that statement. When would you tell somebody, hey, you better arm yourself? That's a very intense statement. Why on earth would you say this? I mean, it's a critical statement. You'd arm yourself because of danger. You know, how many of you like those survival shows? Like, I like the Survival Man or Survival Dude or whatever they have. And they used to have, you know, like this Bear Grylls. And there's this one dude who I know it was a show, and he always drops off. And they say, you know, can he survive with nothing, like, except a pocket knife? And sometimes they'll go on desert islands, and they'll have him have, like, nothing. You know, have the clothes on his back, and maybe he'll forage for string and plastic and stuff, and then he'll get by. But this one particular place, they were dropping him off, and they put him on Kodiak Island. You know why they call it Kodiak Island? Because there's big bears, and they wouldn't drop him off without having a 44 Magnum. Okay? He had to have a big old gun, not just a little gun, a big gun. Why? Because it was so dangerous. They were not going to take the risk. They said, look, you need to arm yourself here. I mean, there'll be bars here. I remember there was another one where they took this guy and they dropped him off, and they would not leave him up in wolf country. And they said they wouldn't leave him without having a rifle. And it was kind of weird. So all these shows. So I got a picture here. I was hiking with my sister up in Colorado. when she used to live there. And we went way high. There was this time she loves to do these really high hikes that kind of get to me. I think it's because I'm not acclimated to the altitude, and so I have to wimp out before her. But this, it had been snowy. It was the, kind of the end of the season, and the snow hadn't cleared yet. So we had to park our car at a snowdrift and then walk a couple miles to the trailhead to then start the hike. Okay, and so there's nobody around, and I was kind of nervous, and then there were all these signs, and posted on the signs, it said, warning, dangerous wildlife, and then it had bears. Here's what to do, not if, but when you encounter a bear. Then they had, here's what to do, not if, but when you encounter a mountain lion. And so I was looking around, and in the snow, you could see tracks. And the tracks were not like little tracks. Tracks were big tracks. And so what's the first thing that you think I did? I took my pulse because I thought I was going to faint. That's the very first thing I did. But once I got past that, I had one goal. Before hiking, before doing anything else, I went and found the biggest stick that I could find. I don't know what good it would have done, but you know, they're like, oh, make noise. I'd make plenty of noise. I'd have screamed like a sissy, okay? So, you know, that's bad. Now, all that was interesting, but then when we came down, we went back down to Longmont. The next morning, we went for another hike, because she's sadistic, and as I saw another set of signs, and these ones were really interesting. It wasn't for snakes, it wasn't for lions or tigers or bears, oh my. It wasn't for any of those. It was a warning sign. Are you ready? Everybody get ready, because I know this is very scary. Beware of the prairie dogs. I'm not kidding. There were signs all over this path. Beware of the prairie dogs. And then it said, why? Because they carry the plague. I'm not kidding. The plague. The Black Death. And so these critters around, they warn you, and they're like, look, we're serious. We're so serious, we're going to tell you that you better beware. And so I felt a little ridiculous finding the same bear stick that I kept for the little prairie dog. You know, you look at them and they run, but you know, here they have the Black Death. So it's an interesting thing here. And so if we look and we try to focus on what the apostle is telling us, he said, since Christ suffered, arm yourselves. You need to arm yourself because Jesus suffered. And then he tells us how we're supposed to arm ourselves. So in other words, because Christ was in this world, and because he represented God's intent, and he represented God's character here on the earth wasn't wild about that. The earth is, the world, our fallen world that we live in, is not wild about the priorities and the principles of the Lord. And so he tells us that one of the ways that we can arm ourselves, or the appropriate way to arm ourselves, isn't by getting a big stick. It is not by, you know, by getting a weapon. He says the weapon that we need to have is arm yourself with the same thinking as Christ. So what we are supposed to arm ourselves with in this world, because there's very real danger, and because Christ suffered, is you need to think like Christ thought. How about that, gang? You need to adopt Christ thinking. And now, so a couple things as I begin to think about that and pray, how can we arm ourselves with the same thinking as Christ? And I realized something, that Christ knew that he was here on the earth, but he was doing the Father's mission. Jesus was here doing the Father's mission. And so our first point today, and I've got 3 points for you today. My first point is this, is that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds that we are doing the Father's mission. Or perhaps a better way to say it is, while we're here in this earth, we need to realize that we are on a mission. Everybody say, I'm on a mission. And we forget that. And when we forget that, our activities begin to wander. I was on a mission trip one time, and it's always funny how a lot of people take mission trips to, you know, really beautiful places, and yes, there is poverty, and yes, there's those things, and yes, sometimes Christians are guilty of taking missions in beautiful places. And we get a vacation tied into a mission trip, okay? It's just for real. It's one of the things I've struggled with over the years, It was hard for me at times to sit there when we were in Cuba, because I mean the places that we were impoverished, and then we went to Varadero, which is this incredible, beautiful resort, and I'm sitting there and I took a Snapchat and sent it to my friend Pastor Wayne and said, suffering for Christ. You know, we're sitting here on a beautiful beach, you know, having a meal. It didn't feel like this was a mission trip, because at that point it was relaxing. I'm not trying to throw shade on that. I'm just saying it's kind of weird. And I've recognized in other places where I have served with people that there are times that people forget what they're doing and they forget where they are. And when you forget why you're here, or you forget what you're supposed to be doing, There is a tendency for behaviors to slip in. I think it was last week, the early part of last week, a pitcher was getting pulled and he lost his temper. And so from the pitcher's mound, he threw the ball into the stands. And apparently they went and they interviewed him afterwards and he was very embarrassed. He's like, there's no place for that. Well, what'd you do? He said, I just forgot. I forgot where I was and who I was and what I, he said, that's not professional behavior. That is grade school behavior. I should not have done that. And when we forget that we are on earth for a mission, and we are on a mission, that's when our behavior begins to get a little loosey-goosey. So how did we know that Jesus knew this? Well, I'm going to throw out just three really quick responses to let you know that Jesus knew that he was here on a mission. Number one, John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus let him know, look, I'm not here for my own needs. I'm here to do the will of the Father. John 16, 28. He kind of says another thing. He says, look, I came from the Father and I have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. In other words, he said, look, I was with God. Now I'm here and I'm going back to God. In other words, I'm here for a purpose. And gang, we here's what we think. We think maybe, you know, we were formed in our mother's womb and now we're here. But a lot of times we lose sight that we're going to stand in front of the Almighty God, and our life is going to be judged. No, Pastor, you said that we're judged according to grace. Yes, but Christians, your works are going to be judged. You're going to be rewarded according to your good deeds. Matthew 26, 39, Jesus said this, and I always love this. This is a rough one. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, and look at those last two phrases. Let's all read those together. Not as I will, but as you will. That should be part of our heart. That should be what's going on, is recognize that we are going to the Father. We are going. Someone doesn't like the message today. So what do? We recognize that, gang, the best advice that I can give for us in trying to wrap up the Apostle Peter, I mean, this is him wrapping up his first epistle here. He's giving this knowledge. You need to recognize, arm yourself, arm your mind with the thinking of Christ, and Christ realized that he was here on a mission, and you are here on a mission. 1 Peter chapter 4, 7, going on. The next piece of encouragement that he has for us is, and let's all read this together, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. So he tells us something else, okay? He says, the next phrase that I've kind of created for this is, second point, keep in the forefront of your mind that the end is near and that tomorrow is not promised. So not only are you here for a mission, but you're here for a mission just for a short time. I remember in the last mission trip we got to, as I explained, you know, it was kind of scary getting in because of the legal issues that we had and the threat to be, you know, put in jail. And that was something that I certainly didn't, you know, intend on. Again, it was ironic. I had two chainsaws in my, and that went right through customs, no problem. And then a big box of evangelism bracelets got flagged and we almost got chucked in jail for that. It's kind of ironic to see how that played out. But I remember sitting there later that night, and some people were really having anxiety attacks, and some people were really struggling, and they were panicking, and they said, you know what? It's only for four more days. Six more days. We'd just gotten there. It's only six more days. And they're like, you know what? We can get through. It's only 6 more days. And the truth is, sometimes life is hard, right? It's kind of funny. I remember when my kids were little, they had to go get their shots one day. And I was telling Ellie, and I was like, okay, because Ellie does not like needles. And Ellie does not like not being in control. And I was like, kid, 3 seconds is all it's going to take. They're going to brush it up, and in 3 seconds, it'll all be over. It's like, I don't care. No, 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 it's just 3 seconds. Kid, we can get by for 3 seconds. If you just focus your thoughts just for 3 seconds, and bam, 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 it'll be done. And she couldn't do it. You know, it's hard. And then recognize, then as you get older, you recognize that and you can get through. There are things in your life that you recognize. You suffer, and you, if you know that you're going to get through it, it's going to be okay. Remember going in a boat one time, and we hit a storm, and the captain kept saying another 15 minutes and hopefully the weather's saying the storm could pass. Or sometimes when you're flying and you're in an airplane, you hit turbulence, and the captain will come on when he recognizes and he hears from the flight attendants that there's some anxiety in the cabin. He says, folks, about 10 more minutes and we should get some better air. And you think, okay. If it was like, oh, we're going to be like this the whole flight, and then people kind of freak out. But it lets you know that, hey, if you just have a short time, you're going to get through it. And gang, for a lot of us, we forget that our time here on earth, it's not eternal. We have forgotten that eternity, forever, is what's coming to us. So he kind of helps us have an understanding that we should live with a sober expectation of Christ's return. I am sad to say that, you know, I recognize that there's that thought that the master's going to be away, and while the master's away, you know, the have tendency for the mice to play. When the cat's away, excuse me, I mixed my metaphors here. So when the cat's away, the mice will play, and if the people know that someone's coming home, then they kind of straighten up. I remember times watching my sisters when I was real, real little, and they would have raging parties when my folks were gone. And then all of a sudden they're like, what? Parents are getting ready to come home. Everybody stop doing what you're doing that you shouldn't be doing and start picking up. Why? Because we recognize that the time is about out. And for a lot of us, we should recognize tomorrow is not promise. I mean, we've met a whole lot of the criteria for Christ's return, and people say, oh, it's been thousands of years, and Jesus promised he's returned. It isn't going to happen in our lifetime. How do you know that? Seriously, gang. Live your life with a sober expectation of Christ's return. And then he kind of lets us know, in 1 Peter 4:7, he says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded. But he doesn't stop the sentence there. Look, what are the next... 6 words there. For the sake of your... Many people forget the fact that prayer is essential. And we pray as if we're not here for a short time. And we forget to pray as if we are on a mission. So pray as if you are on the Father's mission and your time is short. To help you keep in the forefront of your mind that the end is near, we need to pray. Because prayer is communication with the Father. Prayer must be the engine that drives, not the caboose that follows. So we have to understand, gang, tomorrow's not promised, and the time we're suffering, the end is near. There was a pastor in a congregation one time, and he was talking to several members at a social gathering. He went up to this one guy and he said, hey, if you knew that the end of the world was in 7 days' time, what would you do? And this parishioner said, you know what, pastor, I've thought about it, and I'd like to go into my community and share the gospel with whoever would listen to me. And boy, the pastor's chest swelled, and he thought, that's good. So he went up to another church member and said, hey, you know, what would you do if you only had 7 days, you knew the end was near? And he says, you know, pastor, what I'd do, I'd withdraw every cent that I had from my savings and in the bank, and I'd throw a big party for all my families and friends. And the pastor said, okay, well, that makes sense. And he went to a third person. And he asked the third leader the same question. And this man surprised him with his answer. And he said, you know what? I'd go and I'd live with my mother-in-law for the entire week at her house. He said, why in the world would you do that? And he says, because it would be the longest week of my life. Just teasing. No, gang. The truth is, I'm just teasing. Kathy's not here, is she? No, okay. That'd be a blessing for me. So no, gang, the truth is that we have to pray as if our time here is short and that we are on a mission. But he's got a couple other things that will help us to do things in addition to prayer. Okay, it goes on, verse 8 and 9. He says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Another qualifier there. So we are supposed to love one another. And what is this love that he's talking about? Well, the Apostle Paul picks up this love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most people have this read at their wedding. What is the love that he's talking about? A love that is patient, that is kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Now, this is the type of love that we should have for one another, right? So the person in the room who you feel like you love the least, you should love them. But he gives us a qualifier. He says that we should love one another. And what's that word there? Earnestly. Do you know what earnestly means? With sincere and intense conviction. Seriously. So this is a love that results in hospitality. A love that isn't there to get, but a love that is there to give. And so, gang, we should love, seriously, we should love as if we are on the Father's mission and our time is short. And if you think, well, they irritate me, I really don't know that I could love them, I want you to know that your time is short. You can do it for a small time. You can do it, right? It's going on to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Next slide there, if you would, please. As each has received a gift, use it to do what? Serve one another. So not only should we pray as if we're on a mission and pray as if our time is short, and not only should we love as if we're on God's mission and our time here is short, but we should serve as if you are on the Father's mission and your time is short. And he goes on finally to begin to wrap this up. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Let's all read this again together because it's good for us to read God's word. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now notice it says in that first sentence, it did not say, beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial if. It's not if, what is it? It's not if, it's when. And so I've always contended this. If my faith is so stinking milquetoast that it's never persecuted, am I really living out the faith? Now, I'm not saying to be controversial. I'm not saying throw a sandwich board on and tell everybody turn or burn, repent or be sent, be sanctified or French fried. That's not what I'm talking about. No one likes that guy, okay? No one really likes that guy. What I'm saying is, if we authentically walk out the love of Jesus Christ, the integrity of the Word of God, it will put us in conflict with the culture in which we live, and we will have issue. We will. And by the way, let me just cut right to the chase of the matter. This is not a political topic in which I'm talking about. Some people are sadly equating this to a division between the right and the left right now in our political realms. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about walking out the words of Christ and the teaching of scriptures and the values that the Word of God gives to us. How can we do this? Recognize that you're on a mission. You're not here to get the most toys. You're not here to get the most thrills. You're not here to just have the biggest fun that you can have. You are here for something greater. To have an eternal impact on those around you. Your time here is short. There are individuals, I have done funerals for individuals whom I love dearly and whom I honestly have regrets that for sake of the relationship, I did not share Christ, and I have shame and guilt that I have to deal with for that. Individuals who were friends, and you think, I'm just looking for, you know, God, just give me the right time. Really? There's a way to share Christ and to share it in love, not condemningly, but to show them that God loves them and that God has a plan for them and God wants them to be with Him in eternity. And it's a beautiful thing. Chapter 5, verse 6 through 11, as this final point is made. He encouraged us, and I think that this is to us who live in a world that has a different set of values. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in the proper time, He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties at Him, because He cares for you. Be, and then look here, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, he prowls around, you know, like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He tells us to resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind, this is big, gang, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternity, to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What's my final point here today? But you know what? There's some wisdom that the Apostle Peter is trying to let us know that in this world, we're going to have some bumpy rides. We're going to have that. I remember how nervous I was my second year of college, trying to get my life straightened out and going back to the place I just made a wreck of my first year, and now having Christ as a center of my life and thinking I have to share Christ with these individuals and thinking, man, this is going to be rough. I'm going to get made fun of. I'm going to lose a bunch of friends. And you know what happened? It was rough. I got made fun of and I lost a bunch of friends. But I made a bunch more friends. And some of the individuals never would accept the gospel. But a lot of them that made fun of me on the Fridays and Saturdays while they're drunk coming home would come later when they were having troubles in their lives and ask for prayer. And that's okay. That's okay, gang. Live your life like you're on a mission. It's God's mission. Understand and live your life as if time is short and the end is near. And finally, keep in the front of your mind that you're part of something greater, His church. That's how Peter wraps it up, is that you're not alone. As I felt so totally isolated, I mean so isolated, my sophomore and junior year of college, felt like, boy, I just don't fit. I'm the square peg in the round hole, and just kind of felt like that was going to be my life song the entire rest. I began to find something, and I didn't find it where I began to look. I began to find that I was part of something greater, the church. And then I found a bunch of other weird people like you who are part of my family. Congratulations, you're my crazy uncles, okay, and aunts. But that's okay, because we do life together. We do life together. And when I hurt, I'm blessed because I have a church family who's there to hurt with me. Can't necessarily fix it, but says, I'll go through it with you. And when you hurt, we try to be there for you, and we know, and we try to carry one another's burdens. You're on a mission. Our time is short. You're not alone. You're part of something bigger. Amen? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray if you join me. Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your awesome word to us here today. And Father, as we consider this, I pray encouragement for all of my church family. I pray, God, that for some of us who've forgotten that our life is in fact a mission, and that sometimes we struggle looking for our purpose, and we go from event to event and from thing to thing, and we just don't seem to have that spiritual focus that we long for, I pray, God, this simple message would resonate in our heart. For those who've walked that journey and quite frankly have gotten discouraged or gotten wounded, Lord, I pray that we would recognize that our time here It's not eternal, but we have an eternity that's waiting for us with you. And Father, for those of us who feel alone and separated and we don't resonate with the values of the world and we feel that persecution and sometimes we bow down and other times we step up, I pray, God, that we would receive encouragement to recognize that we are part of something greater. Make so real to us what it means to be part of the family of God. And that means having the responsibilities and the blessings to receive the benefits. I pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's children said,
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.